Psalms 86 and 1, the Bible says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." He said, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good." Everybody say he's good. And everybody say he's ready to forgive. He's good. He's ready to forgive. And he is plenteous in mercy unto all them that, everybody say, call upon thee. Everybody say it again, call upon thee. He said, "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee." Amen. I'm going to call upon thee, Lord, for thou wilt answer me. Praise God. I want to preach a little while from this title, Calling on the Lord. Amen. Calling on the Lord. Set your Bibles down, lift your hands. Lift your voices to the Lord all across this house. Come on, let's ask God to help us in this place. God, strengthen your people. Come on, prayer warriors, help me pray. God, I want you to help us and strengthen us one more time. God, change me, mold me, and shape me, God, into what I ought to be. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. You mean everything to me. You've never failed me. Come on, why don't you take somebody by the hand now next to you if it's appropriate. Let's pray together. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place wanting to heal and help and strengthen people. Hallelujah. Come on, open your heart to him. Come on, open your mind to him. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm going to preach just a little while. Amen. From this title, Calling on the Lord. Everybody say it again, Calling on the Lord. Amen. This psalm is a prayer of David. Amen. And you don't have to study the Bible for very long to realize that David was a man who had great insight into the nature of God and the ways of God and the things of God. Amen. God would actually describe this man, David, as a man after his own heart. Amen. That's a pretty big compliment from God to man to say, this man has a heart like I got. Amen. Praise God. If you want a goal in your life, there's your goal. Amen. For God to look at you and say, that's a man after my own heart. And so because of this definition of being so much like God and having a heart like God, I think it would do us well in our life to take some of David's advice on how to touch God, amen, how to praise God, how to worship God, how to conduct your life, and if you mess up, how to repent in your life. Amen. It's one thing to know how to live for God, but it's another thing to know how to get back on track when you get off track. Amen. Y'all going to help me today? I need to get the young people up here. Hallelujah. If he was a man after God's own heart, I think we ought to pay attention to what he did and what he said. We know he wasn't perfect. We've read the Bible. He made mistakes. But when he made mistakes and the man of God came and started preaching to him and said, thou art the man, he started repenting of his sins. Come on, don't get so big that a preacher can't preach to you. A preacher can't speak to you and you not be moved by the word of God. And so I want us to go through these scriptures today for a little while, and I want us to learn some lessons on following David and how David would do. I want you to understand that when David would begin to pray, he maybe was a little bit different than other people, but when he would begin to pray, he would mention things that he was doing, amen, to make sure God knew, I guess, amen, that he ought to get his answer. Amen. I don't think you ought to come to God in condemnation and, amen, with your head down, but I think we're to come to him knowing the word of God. Amen. When you know the word of God, you can come boldly before the throne of grace. You don't have to sit on the pew till somebody pulls you out and, come on, brother, you need to call. Come on, sister. I think there ought to be something in us that, amen, we know what the word of God says. We may have made mistakes, but I know I'm going to get up today and I'm going to go down to that altar. Hallelujah. I'm going to get a touch of God. Amen. So let's listen to how David would say things. He would say, this is what I'm doing, God. Amen. And because I'm doing this, I want you to do this. Amen. Some people don't like that thought process, but the Bible there again said he was a man after God's own heart. And if that's how he prayed, I think that's how we ought to pray. Hey, I'm not making this up today. I got it right out of the Bible. He said in the first verse, bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Amen. Let me give you a lesson real quick. I don't care if you end up being the king of the greatest nation in the world, you need the understanding. When you're standing before God, you are poor. You are naked. You are undone. You are needy. Come on, you don't come before God with an attitude that I've got it all together. But let me tell you how to touch God. When you come to him and you know who you are. And better that, you know who he is. God, I am poor. I love the song that says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Amen. I'm not trying to make yourself feel down or whatever. I'm trying to let you know how big God is. When you think you got it figured out, you ain't got it figured out. When you think you got it all together, you ain't got it all together. But I know a man who does. I know a God who does. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I need you, Jesus. Amen. He said, preserve my soul, for I am holy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here David connects salvation and the preservation of his soul with the holiness of his life. Praise God. I might have just lost a few people. Amen. I'm glad David said it, not me. He said, preserve my soul, for I am holy. I want to tell you, when you ain't living right, it's hard to start asking God for stuff because you know it ain't right. But when you've been doing everything that you know is right, hallelujah, when you ain't been fighting against holiness, but you've been falling in love with it, come on, David understood there's preservation of my soul is connected to the holiness of my life. Amen. Holiness just ain't just how you dress. It is part of it. And the first fashion designer was named Adam. And he was in a corporation with his wife Eve. And they started the first clothing line. But God didn't like it. And God became the second fashion designer. He said, I don't like those fig leaves tied together. I'm going to take a coat. And I'm going to put a coat on you. Hey, man, I'm going to make it where you're holy before me. But let me tell you, just because you got the covering don't mean you got it all together. Hey, man, you can be dressed in a custom suit, looking at stuff on Facebook you shouldn't look at. And if that's the case, you ain't holy, my friend. You got to have it on the inside, and you got to have it on the outside. And when you're living it, you can say, God, preserve me. I'm living holy. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. I'm trying to get started here. He said, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. You know what he was saying? I got a prayer life. Hey, amen. I didn't wake up trying to get in trouble and trying to find a place to mess up. I woke up thinking about the temple. I woke up thinking I would love to be in the house of prayer right now. Come on, you got to learn how to connect what you do to what God does. If you don't understand this connection, it'll be hard for you to make it to heaven. But when you understand your salvation is directly connected to you and your habits and your lifestyle and what you do, you're going to understand there's things I got to change. There's things I need to do. There's things I need to get out of my heart. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise God. He said, rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Amen. He said, God, I want you to make me happy. Praise God. I'm going to preach a little while. God, I want my joy to come from you. Because he said, Lord, I'm lifting up my soul to you. What he was saying is, I don't have a bottle of whatever trying to make me happy. I don't have an idol that I'm bowing down to try to make me happy. I'm not going to rock concerts to try to get happy. I'm not smoking there what they're smoking to try to get happy. God, I want you to make me happy because I'm lifting up my soul to you. Hey, you've never seen happiness till you felt Holy Ghost happiness. They say, what's wrong with them people? Get the Holy Ghost like I got, and you'll figure out what's wrong with them people. Hey, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've lived it out there, and I've lived it in here, and this is joy. Come on, praise him right now. Praise him in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, I feel a burden in my spirit today. I want to know what you're looking at to try to get happy. That tells a whole lot about the man. What are you doing to try to get happy? Do you have to have a pocket full of money to be happy? Do you have to have a brand new car to be happy? Then you ain't got what I got. Because I came in here with nothing in my pocket, but I found the joy. Well, take this whole world. Just give me some more Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Living for God is the best life. I don't blame the world for doing all that they do, and they're just trying to find happiness. But when you found it, why would you put your head in the fence to try to get a little more of the world? Amen. You were unhappy when you got here. You hated everybody when you got here. And when you got the Holy Ghost, you started hugging everybody.
and you finally smiled for the first time in your life, why would you go play again with what made you unhappy? Come on, church, lift your hand to the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe the reason David wrote all them songs is because he was happy. It meant happy people singing whether they can carry a tune or not. Amen, that's why I sing all the time. Amen, it's not that I have faith that God's going to make me a singer. I just can't help it. Amen, I'm just happy that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm just happy he forgave me. I'm just happy I got the Holy Ghost. I'm happy the chains were broken. I remember going to church with my wife when I didn't have the Holy Ghost. And all them people be lifting their hands. And I thought, well, I wonder what it would feel like. Somehow the enemy had my hands locked to my side where I couldn't raise them. Amen. That's why I raise them every chance I get. Every time I think about it, I raise my hands because I remember a time when they were locked up. He said, raise your hands in the sanctuary. He said, clap your hands, all ye people. Come on, when you get the Holy Ghost, you get happy hands. You get happy feet. You get happy life. You get a happy heart. You get a happy home when you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. All we need is another dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me preach a little while. I'm trying to get started here. Amen. On what I was going to preach about. Praise God. The fifth verse. We're just kind of doing an expository Bible study today. Amen. High octane expository. Praise God. For thou, Lord, art good. Everybody say he's good. Do you believe he's good? I walk around here all the time when there ain't a lot of people. And I sing, I have nothing but praise for you, Lord. Then I change the words. When I see all the beauty in my life, you create. Forget about Niagara Falls. I can look at that from heaven's point of view someday. But when I see all the beauty that you changed an old wretched man and you gave him hope, I've got nothing but praise for you, Lord. Hallelujah, God, you're good. Everybody say he is good. Everybody say he's ready to forgive. Think about a God sitting there ready. What are you waiting on, God? If he's ready, we're not waiting on him. Praise God. He's plenteous in mercy unto all them that, everybody say, call upon thee. The Lord is good. He's ready to forgive. Plenty of mercy to all those that call. Praise God. Hello, Jesus. Are you there? Praise God. The Bible was written before phones, before Alexander Bell ever discovered the telephone. Amen. They used to sing, call him up, call him up. I thought, what? Amen. Does he really got a telephone? I don't know. That was just me being a little OCD kid. Amen. Call him up, tell him what you want. He's on the main line or something. Amen. He's got all kinds of lines. Amen. He is the line. Amen. But he's ready. He's able. He's got all the mercy you could imagine. But the kicker, the hanger, the if, the condition is to all those that call upon him. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, if you ever got the Holy Ghost, it's because you opened your mouth and you started calling on him. Amen. And something happened. The word call in the original Hebrew gives the idea to accost. Amen. That's a big word, A-C-C-O-S-T. It's so big. It's not really big, but we don't use it a whole lot. Or I don't, not where I come from. Amen. Intelligent people probably do, but to accost someone means to approach them and to address them boldly or aggressively. And this is what the Hebrew scholars, they gave an example in my studies yesterday of what accost mean. And they said, this is what they said, the reporter accosted him in the street. Amen. This is the idea of what calling on the Lord is. You've all seen a clip of some important guy and he's just walking. And he's got this reporter and the reporter's behind him chasing him, trying to get his attention and trying to get an answer. Sir, why did you vote for Biden? You know, I mean, that's just an example. Like, what's wrong with you, sir? Sir, what's wrong? Are you all there? Y'all seen them do stuff like that? That's what accosting means. And the Bible says, amen, that they that accost him, that call upon him, are going to get what they want. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach a little while. Hallelujah. There's more to getting God to answer your prayer than just thinking a little thought. But the Bible scholars would tell us it's the same scenario as that reporter trying to get somebody's attention. We get the attitude, well, he knows my struggles. Amen. That's the snowflake generation. I hope you can take a little heat today without melting. Amen. You're not going to get nothing from God sitting like a knot on a log. But I can tell you who's going to touch God. It's the one that says, hey, God, don't pass me by. It's me. It's me. I need a miracle today. I need your attention today. God, don't walk by. God, don't. Hey, I've seen this happen a million times, I think. Amen. When people get serious about something, that's when they get God's attention. You know what I think? You ought to get serious every day. Praise God. Can I preach a little while? What time is it? Oh, I got plenty of time. Praise God. It's time for the church to learn how to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, meditating and calling upon the Lord are two different things. David talked about the blessing of meditating upon his word day and night. Amen. And you should meditate upon the word of God. You should think about the word of God. Amen. But once you're through meditating, once you get it in there and you figure out I need God, you need to quit meditating and start calling. Meditating will let you know you need God, but then you got to break out of that meditation and hallelujah. Well, I'm just going, I don't know anybody else's story except my story. Amen. When I got tired of not having the Holy Ghost, I had to get rid of all my excuses. Well, the preacher's rich. He drives a Jaguar and amen. And whatever lives in this place and all this stuff. And they got brand new this and brand new that and blah, blah, blah. And there's too many people there. And I don't think that's how the original church was. I think they went house to house. And I had all the excuses in the world. You know, I don't believe there ought to be. blah, blah, blah. You can sit there and complain and gripe and philosophize. Amen. Figure it all out and sit there and go to hell. But finally, I thought, you know what? I guess it don't really matter what he drives. It don't really matter where he lives. It don't matter how big that church is. All that matters is I'm on the way to a red hot hell. And if I don't change who I am, I'm about to be lost. And I begin to put all the doubt behind me and all the carnality behind me and all the aggravation behind me and all the gossip that I'd ever heard behind me. And I said, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. And I started off in that back corner in a big church. This is a little bitty church, Sister Loretta. This is a little bitty church. She said, I don't know what to do in a big church. I thought, this is a little church. Amen. But anyway, I started in the back corner, and I'm really shy. But I got to the point where I thought, if I'm going to get it, amen, I'm going to have to make a move. I'd already made up my mind. I told God, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost, I'm going to wear you out. This is how dumb I was. Every day of your life until you give me the Holy Ghost. Now, that was ignorant to me, but to God, I think he really liked that. Because you know what I was doing? I was chasing him down like a news reporter. I was saying, God, I don't deserve to be in this church, but I'm going to be. I know I'm worthless, but I believe you can give worth. I know I'm a nobody, but if I get you inside of me, I'll be a somebody. I know I messed up, but if I get that, hallelujah, God would turn it around. Can I preach a little while? Too many people meditating, not enough people calling. Hallelujah. By definition, not opinion. You got to get rid of your opinion if you're going to get anything from God. So not opinion, but by definition, calling on him is not a moment of silence. I remember it was one day when I got the Holy Ghost, I got the real Holy Ghost. Praise God. The wild one. And so I remember walking in the church one day, and there was this guy. He was on the front pew, and he had his legs crossed like an Indian. And I can tell Indian jokes because I'm an Indian. He had his legs crossed, and his arms were like this. I thought, surely he's about to break out into something. And he never broke out into anything. I thought, well, that ain't the Holy Ghost I got. He said, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let me tell you what you don't do in a fire. When I got it, it made me start moving. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'll tell you, when you get the real Holy Ghost, nobody's going to have to say, well, you got it today. Congratulations, you got it. Yeah, I seen your ear move. But you'll be telling everybody else, I don't know what happened. I got something I never felt in my life. Oh, makes me want to move. Makes me want to shout. Amen. Calling on him is not a moment of silence. Calling on him is not a casual desire to cross paths. Calling on him is something that's very emotional. It's vocal. It's expressive. I'm going to tell you, if somebody's just sitting there, I'm probably not going to sit there and pray with them because I know in my spirit they're not ready. Now, when somebody's throwing down like somebody trying to get out of a house on fire, amen, I'm going to pray with them for a little while because I want to be there to see it when they get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. These girls were getting the Holy Ghost Friday night. Some of them were. I don't know which ones. Amen. They would cry a little while and they couldn't hold their mouth strapped. The Holy Ghost jumped on them. Wasn't very long ago, Sister Lindsay was down here and she was praying. She didn't even know what she was praying for. She'd had some Bible studies, but it's like trying to tell somebody from the north what chocolate gravy tastes like. I could try to explain it, but you ain't till you get a biscuit in it, stir it up, put butter on top of it and let it melt and get a glass of ice milk. Could you really explain it? Or would you just say like David, you just need to taste and see that the Lord is good. You just need to get down here and get the Holy Ghost for yourself. And you'll be saying, man, I wish I'd have done that a long time ago. Yeah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He's ready. Everybody say he's ready. He's ready to forgive. He's got plenty of mercy. It ain't like we won the lottery, because we don't believe in the lottery. If you do get it, you do have to pay your tithes, though, and a building fund offering of $1 million. Praise God. Hell, amen. That's all the comedy here. We don't play the lottery. Amen. We didn't win the lottery. We listened to the Word of God, and we enacted it in our spirit. He's got so much mercy. Plenty to go around. And this is how I know, because my Bible said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Meaning God has enough mercy for all the billions of people on our planet. And if he had his way, they would all get the Holy Ghost today. Of course, they couldn't all do it in here, but they would all get baptized in Jesus' name. And that tells you how big God thinks. He wants everybody to get what you got and I got. Amen. There's plenty of, it ain't a question about how much. The question is, do you want it? Hallelujah. But he said, this is who's going to get it. The ones that call upon him. Hallelujah. This is what the Bible said in Romans 10 and 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you, not everybody that reads the sinner's prayer is going to be saved. Don't let me break your little doctrinal heart, but that's not scriptural. Amen. Reading of a sinner's prayer ain't going to get it done, but the Bible said those that call upon him. Y'all remember what call means? That attitude, I'm not quitting until I get it. The Bible said everyone that calls on him is going to be saved. You know what the Bible's saying? Everybody that gets a made up mind and says, if I don't get it today, I'm going to be back tonight. If I don't get it tonight, I'll be back Wednesday night. And they get that determination. What is that? That's a determination. I'm going to get what God's got for me. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I got a promise for you today. That if you start pursuing him, you're going to find him. If you get after him, it won't be very long. You're going to find what you're looking for. The Bible said, everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Amen. Everybody say, God's ready. God's ready and he's waiting on us. Hallelujah. Well, the air conditioners are loud or y'all are quiet. I don't know. Everybody say, he's waiting on us. Praise God. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to call upon him. Amen. The Bible would say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Praise God. Amen. When somebody starts crying out to God, you know what's in their heart. They're wanting to touch God. And so we know that this scripture would mean, we've been taught this forever. If evil comes out of somebody's mouth, they got evil in their heart. And somebody that speaks good things, they got good things in their heart. Amen. The Bible would tell us to guard our heart, because out of it are the issues. Everybody say the issues. That means like the beginnings, like say a river issued out of this or what. It's the everything in your life begins with your heart. Amen. And when you begin to cry out to God, it didn't start with your mouth. It started with your heart. Amen. But let me expound for just a few minutes, and then we can go check the crock pot. Praise the Lord. If I could expound on this scripture, maybe something you've never really thought about. The Bible would say it's out of the abundance that the heart, that the mouth speaketh. The abundance of the heart, the mouth would speak. Praise God. I'm going to go get them if y'all don't get with me. The mouth is the outlet for the heart. God designed it this way, and we know by scripture. So my words to you today is, you need to learn how to express what's in your heart if you want something to change. Hallelujah. If you're feeling praise in your heart, don't just sit there silently, but learn how to let it out. Because your mouth is the outlet for your heart. Your heart can't talk. So God said, I'm going to give you a mouth where everybody knows what's inside of you. Amen. And when God has been good to you, you don't sit there silent. But the Bible said, praise him for his mighty acts. Now, if God washed your sins away and gave you the Holy Ghost, and you sit down and you never open your mouth, you're out of the will of God. When God's been good, you praise him for being good. When he's blessed you, you enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with. Amen. He's been good to every one of us. If you've got breath in your lungs, you're sitting up, standing up. You've got a reason to praise God. Well, you don't know what's wrong in my life. I know what's right in your life just by looking at you. God put breath in you today. You ought to praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people, when they should be praising God, they get quiet. And the only time they get loud is when they're upset about something. Well, hallelujah, it's getting quiet. I want to tell you, it don't matter if you're happy or you're sad. You need to let it come out. Well, that's just not how I was raised. Well, I'm changing your culture right now. We're going to get a Bible culture. My Bible said, cast all your cares upon him. For he careth for you. Well, You know, my mama said, if you ain't got anything good to say, don't say nothing. Well, bring your mama up here and let me have a Bible study with her. Hallelujah. Because this is what David said in Psalms 55. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to pray when everything gets just right. Well, my Lord, you'll never pray. He said, because the voice, this is him talking to God, because the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore, pain within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. David, be quiet. What are you doing, David? I'm not going to let this stay in my heart. There's something powerful about an expression that gets it out of you and into his hands. Amen. Don't anybody say anything. We're not allowed to do this in this church. We're not allowed to bring Dr. Peppers. This is what the world wants to do to your life. Get you all shook up. You better not come on. Jesus' name. God, don't let this cap come on. It's what life does. It shakes you up and beats you around. And if you don't have an outlet, you'll build up so much pressure. The Bible said men's hearts would fail them for fear. How could that happen? Because they ain't got a prayer life. Well, if you just wait a little while, it'll all calm down. Yeah, let it calm down, and then tomorrow something else will shake it back up. But I figured out I ain't going to let life shake me up. I'm going to go down to that altar and I'm going to pop the cap off and I'm going to tell God, I need you. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. This, I want to tell you, if you don't open your mouth and let your hurt out, it'll destroy you. It'll make you so bitter, you'll be lost. What do you need? You need to open your mouth and let God help you. Come on, lift your hands, everybody in this house. Come on, help me pray for a few moments. Come on, come on, come on. Your mouth wasn't just designed for the good times. Your prayer wasn't just for the good times. But God designed your mouth to get some things out of your heart that life puts in you. It may be your fault, it may not be your fault, but you got to learn how to pop the cap off. I'm so tired of seeing people so hurt. And they just bottle it up. And life shakes them. And they're under such pressure. They don't know what to do. And they just sit there and they hold it in. When there's a God. Saying if you'll just. It's the reason I gave my life. So you could be free. It's what my stripes were for. So you could be healed. I'm not talking about just the healing of an arm or diabetes or some sickness. There's a lot of minds that need to be healed. There's a lot of broken hearts that need to be healed. Amen. I'm going to tell you the greatest miracle you'll ever see is when somebody that's broken. What do you have to lose? I don't want to pour out. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel like there's so much pent up pressure in some people today. They're wondering if they can go another day. I got a word for you. It's time to call on the Lord. I'm afraid what people will think about me. Quit worrying about what people think. You're going to die lost if you don't open your mouth and call on the Lord. Well, I'm so ashamed of who I was. I can't. No, you need to get that out of your mind. You need to have enough faith in the blood of Jesus that he died for your sins. Come on, stand together with me. Hallelujah. People have asked me many times, how do you do what you do? I couldn't imagine all that pressure. Can you imagine what would happen if I opened this cap right now? That's what I do every day of my life. Life shakes me. Life shakes you. Life throws you down. Life throws me down. Troubles come to you. Troubles come to me. Death comes to my family. Comes to your family. Sickness comes to my home. Comes to your home. Nobody is exempt from trouble. Man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. If you allow that pressure to build, I've literally in my life watched people die of a broken heart. Nothing physically wrong with them, but they couldn't handle what life has done to them. Could I beg you? Try this. Call on the Lord. This is how it's designed. It's your outlet. Sure, he knows what's in your heart. He knows how many hairs on your head. It's not like we're trying to show God something. But it's an expression of faith. When you take the cap off. Seen people with a lifetime of misery and abuse and all the things and tragedies, and my heart breaks for you. I have empathy. There's just a lot of things in life. Listen to me, church. There's a lot of things in life you'll never understand till you walk through them. So don't judge people for how they act in them. But can I let the Word of God override all the elements of this natural life and tell you there is a place where you can be restored to a childlike faith. That you don't have to carry hurts. You cannot. Ooh, it's real. It's real. He said it's joy unspeakable. What are you talking about? It's so good I can't explain it. My daddy died at 21. I was punching trees and throwing rocks and trying to figure out why I'm mad at everybody and everything. Amen. Then I thought, it took me a few years. I was a little slow learner, but I thought, is me punching rocks and punching trees, and is it going to help anything? Does the tree care? No. What's going to help me? It's when I take this pressure relief off. I can tell you when it happened. When I made my way down to that altar and I threw away every hurt. Threw away every pain. Opening up and the pressure began to go away. Thought, if it feels this good, if it feels this good, I'm going to do this every day for the rest of my life. You know what I've done for the last 20-something years, however long it's been? Every day of my life, Brother Geed, if I was traveling in another country, if I was in an airplane, I'd put a blanket over my face and I'd begin to cry out to God. You know, why do you have to do that? Because I can't take the pressure of life. I can't handle life by myself. That peace comes back. I don't know who I'm talking to. I feel like I'm talking to everybody in this house. Amen. Does anybody want to pray for a little bit? Amen. Does anybody want to get a little pressure off your life? There's so much room in this front that everybody in this building, this is how I designed it, where everybody in this building can make their way down to this front. Come on, like one big family. I'm sorry I preached so long. I felt the Holy Ghost in this. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, that life's been shaking you. It's put so much pressure. I want you to begin to call on the Lord. Come on, you know His name. His name is Jesus. Come on, church. Somebody get the Holy Ghost today. Somebody can get relief today from the heavy burden. From the pressure. Come on, God knows. But He said He'd make a way of escape. This is your way. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Come on, don't let Him. Don't let the devil keep your mouth shut. Come on. Come on, God is in this house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, Lord. Right now. Right now, receive you the Holy Ghost. Come on, if you need the Holy Ghost, just repent of your sins. If there's anything in your life, just say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to do right. I'm changing my life today. Begin to call on that name. Come on, you'll get power. You're going to get power. Ta-ta-ta. Power. Power. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're through praying, help somebody pray. Hallelujah. I feel like God's got a special touch for somebody. Hallelujah. Come on. Cry to God. He's our hope.